Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
2-1 pitch is belted to right field and deep. Going back on it, Robinson. He runs out of room. This one's gone. Mitch Moreland with a home run. Next pitch is hit to left field. High and deep. Is it high enough to get out? Home run. Just over the wall to the left of the light tower. And the Red Sox lead it 3-0. J.D. with his 33rd home run.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Yankees.
2-1. Swung on and hit in the air to center field. Playable for Jackie Bradley Jr. Jackie's got it. And the ball game is over.
Whew.
Had them all away. Well, not exactly how you draw it up. But the Red Sox hang on and win this one by a 4-1 score.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with John Ryder on WEEI.
It is after the Red Sox beat the Yankees 4-1, and happy to be joined right now on the hotline by the one and only WEEI.com's Rob Bradford. Hey, Rob.
I love the summer, John. I love it.
Me too.
I love, you know, I don't even mind these 4 o'clock games as long as they're 2.5 hours long, because that gives you plenty of time to enjoy the rest of the night.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, there you go. A Saturday night in the city. Hey, yeah, I was going to say, what's more surprising, the fact that the Yankees play and Red Sox play a 2:25 game last night, 9 innings, and then what, 2.5 hours today, just over 2.5 hours today, or that Eovaldi and Porcello pitched the way they did?
Oh, I mean, come on. You know the answer
yes.
to that. The first one.
The first one, clearly. Yes. Easy.
This is historic. I mean, this is what we're seeing is what we've seen the last couple of nights. Yeah, we've seen good pitching performances back-to-back, but we've never seen this. It's insane, and I think it shows you sort of where the Yankees are at more than anything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That you're cruising through these lineups, and, you know, you give a tremendous amount of credit to the Red Sox pitchers. But the Yankees, we've seen when teams are in a bad place, and yeah, they have talent and they're missing guys, but they're just in a bad place. And when that happens, you get these sort of games because it becomes so one-sided.
Yeah, and it's not just right now. I mean, clearly this stands out because it's Red Sox-Yankees, but I was saying earlier in the show, Rob, I mean, ever since the Braves series about a month ago, they're now 12-13 in their last 25, the Yankees are. I mean, is this division sewed up?
Well, you never like to say that because
2011.
I don't know. I'm not going to go there because you know I don't think they're going to have Kyle Weiland starting for them in September.
That's right. Even I forgot that name.
Yeah, but I think that you have to look at how many games are left. There's a lot of games left. The Yankees have a very easy schedule in September. The Red Sox still have to play the Yankees again, Houston, Cleveland. So Atlanta. So it's not like the Red Sox have just a bunch of bad teams they have to face. They still have to get through this, and they have the a capability of going south for at least a little bit. But the lead is insane now. I mean, when you're looking, what are they, 8.5 now?
Eight and a half,
right? Yeah, 8.5. So I know this morning it was the Rays were 8.5 back of the wild card, and that kind of shows you like how far that actually is, because the Rays aren't making the wild card, and there's a long-winded way of answering your question. I think that there's a very good chance that this is sort of sewn up, I think, just because of the way the teams are trending, but also just because of the chasm that they built.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I mean, I didn't think – I said this earlier in the show. I don't know what you think. I mean, if someone asked me, even around the All-Star break, which wasn't that long ago – I don't know what the lead was specifically at that time. Don't have it in front of me. I know it wasn't, I don't think it was any more than 5 at that point. But if someone said to me, you know, 8.5, I mean, I thought these two teams would be fighting tooth and nail up until the very finish. I mean, I didn't think it'd get more either way in either direction, Red Sox or Yankees, than four the rest of the way, even around that point, mid-July.
Yeah, okay, so let's look at the jumping-off point here. Let's go back to the Red Sox series against the Yankees. The Yankees got the upper hand. You have that David Price start on Sunday. The Yankees feeling good about themselves, so forth and so on. The Red Sox had made a move for Steve Pierce, but it was considered a minor move. But then you go to what the Red Sox have done in terms of the trade deadline, in terms of helping their teams, in terms of positioning themselves to win. And they had a run of bad teams. There's no question about it. But let's take today's starter, Nathan Eovaldi. Nathan Eovaldi might very well turn out to be the best starting pitcher at the trade deadline, switching teams. And the Red Sox got him. Not Jay Happ, but Nathan Eovaldi. And so, I mean, Nathan Eovaldi, if he's on the Yankees, is an enormous difference maker. So you give Dave Dombrowski a tremendous amount of credit for supplementing the team where he needed to, and Alex Cora obviously a lot of credit to figuring out how to keep the train moving here while you have more guys, I think, on the DL this month than any other team in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's good points by you. And you know, some of the moves that Dombrowski has made while he's been with the Red Sox, I mean, it's great, the additions of Chris Sale and Craig Kimbrell, and you understand that, and you pull that off, and you give up some, at the time anyway, thought of well-regarded prospects. But, I mean, these moves, almost in a weird way, Rob, you could say are more unique, or at least I know it's still early in this, but meaning these are really creative trades by a GM to get Eovaldi for just giving up a Jalen Beeks, to not give up much for a Steve Pierce, who has obviously exceeded expectations, and even adding an Ian Kinsler.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, when we look at Dave Dombrowski, we talk about Dave Dombrowski's moves, the negative one always will be right now is the Travis Shaw, Tyler Thornburg move. And so, but that was in the off season. This is you have given up nothing. I'm still not convinced there is going to be a single guy that he's given up over the last 3 years for the rentals that we're going to say in 5 years, oh man, that really hurt. Maybe the kid, the pitcher who's over in San Francisco, which I always forget his name, but there's one pitcher who's, you know, he was in the futures game this year. And so, okay, maybe him. But everybody else, and look at the guys who got back. You got Brad Ziegler, you got Nunez, you got Addison Reed, you got the guys from this year. They've all been the perfect fit for what those teams needed. Now, you didn't do it in the playoffs, but it wasn't because of those guys. It was those guys helped you. I mean, if Eduardo Nunez is healthy against Houston last year instead of, you know, making it halfway down the first baseline in game one, then that would be a huge, huge help for that team. So I give him a ton of credit, to your point, John. And once again, I mean, I don't think that he's really given up a whole lot to do it.
Yeah, no, and really you look back, too, and there's articles up on WEI.com. Alex Reamer has one about Steve Pierce and Hanley Ramirez. I mean, Hanley's almost a forgotten guy at this point.
Yeah,
I mean, that's another move, right? Too, that they made that, I mean, obviously raised eyebrows for a while at the time. Well, certainly when it was happened, I remember doing the Clubhouse Insider with you the day it happened, and you know, there was a stunner for most that Ramirez was the guy that was let go when Pedroia was ready to come back.
We're gonna look back at that was a pretty bold move.
Yeah,
that we can't ignore that he was the number three hitter all the way up until basically he was let go. That was it. I mean, when's the last time you saw something like that? And you know, we've all tried to figure it out, in the drug cartel thing aside, you know, that chaos that lasted for however long it lasted, you know, that aside, we've tried to figure out, well, what was the main impetus behind letting Hanley Ramirez go? And, you know, I said at the time, I still believe there is an aspect of this, which is, you know, I think that they were worried that he's going to become obsessed with his option, and the plate appearances, if he get drawn back on, which he had to because Mitch Moreland was playing better, and then that was going to be a bad scene. And another thing that we've sort of now getting some steam in terms of that narrative is this whole idea of this is a team that loves sitting around the batting cage, loves talking hitting, loves talking baseball, and maybe Hanley wasn't that guy. I don't think Hanley was a bad teammate, but maybe he wasn't that guy that it maybe was a little bit of a square peg in the round hole
yeah. When
it comes to that sort of dynamic.
Yeah, and back to today's game, I mean, we mentioned Evaldi, and obviously he was the story of the game today. It was just incredible. But, you know, I guess one kind of lone, you know, low light in this game was Craig Kimbrell, who just breezed through the first two batters, strikes. I mean, he got the job done in the end, but he's had a couple of times out here this season where he's kind of walking that high wire act. What do you think of Kimbrell of late?
Well, it kind of goes, you know, this is the credo with this team. They're unbelievable, but it's a wait and see. You know, Craig Kimbrell has had a good year, but we have to wait and see. People really don't remember his last outing of last year was game four of the playoffs was not good. And that's one game, but you can't afford to not be not good or at the end of the season in the playoffs. So we'll see. I mean, they feel like they've managed him pretty well this year. He has had some bumps in the road recently. He had three walks a couple of outings ago. He had this outing. Now he hadn't worked in a whole long time, so we'll see. Maybe he bounces back the next time. I think that there is some discomfort, a little bit more than you would want with Craig Kimbrell. But if you're still going, this feels like with Kimbrell, it just feels like it's another thing we're nitpicking
yeah.
a team that's like, whatever, they 44 games over
500
or something.
Right. Yeah, they are. And we are. I mean, I guess that's all you could do here in Boston today, when the team is.
But you have to, John. I mean,
yeah.
But you have, that's the thing. You have to, because we know what this team is, and we have a pretty good idea where they're going to end up. So we have to look at things like how Craig Kimbrell is going to do at the end of the year. We have to look at things like, can David Price be really, really good? Because you need David Price to be really, really good in game two of a playoff series.
Does he even start game two?
That.
I'm sorry, Rob, to interrupt. Does he even start? I mean, I was talking about this earlier, all right? If it's the Red Sox-Yankees ALDS, if that's what ends up happening, which would be obviously dynamic theater and first time since 2004 they've faced up. But if it happens, you know, first couple of games at Fenway, do you go? I mean, I would think you would almost have to go. Would you go with Porcello in game two the way that he's pitched against the Yankees
at Fenway?
I don't
pitch Price in Yankee
Stadium. Yeah, well, that's the flip side of it, right? Yeah, exactly.
I actually think that Price is a good chance. Price pitches pretty well. I mean, you're going up against a lineup with not a lot of confidence. You're going a team that has a lot of confidence. Price has fixed some things. Alex Spear did a really good story on it today. You know, I talked to Dana Lavangi after the game tonight about it, and you know, he thinks that a big turning point was sort of getting Sandy Leon behind the plate and having him work with him. And you know, so I think that he'll probably pitch well, but that's going to leave us with one of these doubts, which is how is he going to pitch at Yankee Stadium, because we still don't know.
Yeah, well, that's just it. So you think that he'll do okay tomorrow night?
Yeah. I mean, I think that he's been pitching well enough, and like I said, this isn't the same vibe. This isn't the same atmosphere. This isn't the same lineup that he faced before. And I just have a feeling that, you know, he'll pitch okay. The Yankees aren't playing with a whole lot of confidence, and Price is pitching with a lot more confidence than he was the last time he faced him. I could be totally wrong, but you know, that's sort of the vibe that I have. I will say this: I have much more confidence that Price is going to pitch well this game heading into it than I did when he faced the Yankees.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I feel the same way as well. I mean, they do have at least their best pitcher of late going, Tanaka, tomorrow night. The Yankees do. You wonder what they do, too. I mean, the Yankees, if they do have a one-game playoff, I mean, there's still so much to be played out here, but whether they'd go with Tanaka or Severino in that one game, depending on how those two are going and how they'd match up or who they'd look to for their game one starter, I guess whichever one wouldn't start that wild card game.
Yeah, I mean, their whole, you know, Tanaka is good for him for pitching well, but, you know, I just keep waiting for his elbow to fall off. And so it goes back to what the Yankees are doing. Their whole thing is based on Severino being the guy who can match up with the Sale and the Kluber and the Verlanders and those guys. And obviously he hasn't been that guy lately. So if he's not that guy, you've got a bunch of guys who you're sort of lumping together, and Tanaka and Severino and Happ and Sabathia. And that's fine. They can all be good pitchers, but you need that really, really, really good pitcher that you can line up for that playoff game. Because right now they play Oakland, and Oakland could just run out a bunch of relievers and they got they can just unload a bunch of pitchers in that game who are very, very good, and they're feeling good about themselves. And so, yeah, so I the Yankees don't like where they're at right now, and I don't like really looking at that team where they're at right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you know what? The Yankees might want to take the Rays method at some point. No, sir, I'm thinking this in the postseason at some point, depending. I mean, because of that bullpen, they could have a starter go three, four innings and then get into Britton and Betances and everyone else.
Yeah, I think that Brian Cashman, he's done some unbelievable things over the last couple of years. And I know that they've been searching for this next level starter, and they tried to get it with Sonny Gray last year, and then tried to get it with Happ this year. But why he's doing this, he also understands you go out and get four closers to kind of do what you're talking about. And so that they have the capability of doing that, but you have to get the starters in the position. You have to get the lead. You can't do that unless you get the lead. I mean, isn't it going back when the Red Sox played the Indians a couple of years ago? You know why they were able to do what they did with Andrew Miller? Because they had the lead like the entire time. So yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting because now you have a really hot team in Oakland. You have the Mariners sitting there, and who knows what they're going to do. And I just want to see if one of these teams are going to sneak up on this Yankees team, which is taking on water fast.
Yeah. So do you think who is the team? Is it the Astros or the Red Sox right now? The team to beat.
I mean, the Red Sox are the best team in baseball right now, but that doesn't mean they're going to be the best team at the end of the year. That doesn't mean it's unfair to the Red Sox because it is like a historically unbelievable start for them. What they've done through however many games.
Yeah, 112. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I was talking to someone today. Is this the best Red Sox team in whatever? Who knows? But I'm like, no. I think they match up with 2007, 2008. If they were healthy, same thing. And 2004, I think their starting pitching was awesome in the middle of the lineup and everything else. But they're a very good team. I think they can match up with those teams. But we can't ignore the fact that they are doing this in large part because they have the ability to really beat up on some bad teams. They're taking advantage of the way the league is, and good for them. But it's going to be judged. It's two different conversations. It's enjoy the ride now. Enjoy what they're doing now. They're playing really well. But, to use David Price as an example, what is David Price going to do in game two? What is Craig Kimbrel going to do in the playoffs? So, what is Jackie Bradley going to be on one of his hot streaks or one of his cold streaks? All of that, because that's the position they put themselves in, John, right now. The expectations are out of sight.
They are. And last, anything on any updates on Chris Sale? Is he going to be back next week, or are you hearing anything?
No, they're still saying they're playing it by ear, and initially it was that's the plan. I think that they're probably still saying that, but they haven't definitively said that he's going to pitch that second game in Toronto, and if I was them, I wouldn't pitch him. Why take a chance? There is absolutely no reason. If you, let's say they win tomorrow,
Nine and a half.
I can't even, I have to check myself every
no,
time.
No, it is crazy. I mean, all the stats, I mean, every, I mean, you look at the Red Sox notes, all that, it is crazy, Rob. I mean, everything is, the list goes on and on of, all right, they haven't done this since 1946 or they haven't done this since 1915. It is crazy what they're doing.
Yeah, and so you're 9.5 going up. Let's say worst case scenario, you lose the first game in Toronto, Yankees win, you're 8.5 up. If there's any doubt at all, don't start Chris Sale. It's okay. As long as there's nothing seriously wrong with him. I mean, we've talked about this, John. They used to do this with Beckett. They used to do this with, I think, Daisuke. There is a value to having this sort of break at this time of year. For this guy, they did the first part, which is draw back on the innings and the pitches. Now the next level about getting this guy to the right place at the right time is maybe drawing him back more than one start.
No, I would agree. Hey, Rob, excellent. Really appreciate your time. Enjoy your Saturday night.
All right, John. I'll talk to you later.
All right. See ya. Rob Bradford of WEI.com. John Ryder, Red Sox Review. We continue 617-779-7937. You can text us 37937. Also hear what Alex Cora had to say after the game, after this on WEI. Red Sox Review rolls on here. John Ryder with you. Taking your call, 617-779-7937. You can text us at 37937. Red Sox whopping 8.5 games up on the Yankees now for first place in the American League East after Nathan Eovaldi spins a beauty. Another gem backing up Rick Porcello. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that it's not a, you know, one run or eight scoreless, you know, for David Price tomorrow night. I do think Price, like Rob said, does pitch better. I mean, how can he not pitch better than how he pitched in that brutal Sunday night game? I think, you know, last night, I'll stick with what I said. I think he gives up 3 or 4 runs over 6 innings. That's what I think he does. Something like that. I'd take 3 over 6, even with no Aaron Judge or no Giancarlo Stanton. Still formidable. The Yankees definitely reeling. They've lost a season high 4 in a row after the 4-1 loss. So back-to-back 4-1 wins for the Red Sox. Porcello last night. And then Saturday afternoon today, Eovaldi gets the job done. What a find to this point. Definitely. I'm going to sign off on that trade just after these two starts for the rest of the season. All right. If you want to fit in a phone call, it's fine with us. But right now, let's hear what Red Sox manager Alex Cora had to say after today's win over the Yankees, the latest one.
Outstanding. His stuff is probably one of the best in the big leagues. And the fact that he can use his stuff in the edges of the strike zone is impressive. There was some traffic, and he kept the ball down. He got the ground balls to a play. He was able to expand up, use his breaking ball from their cutter. That was another great outing by Nate.
Alex, he's always had good stuff, but not necessarily good results in his career. What's allowed him to be so efficient these last two games?
He's been really, really good this season. He only had one horrible outing. You take that one away, of course you can't, but it was 8 runs in 2 innings. And but besides that, you know, he faced those guys earlier, and he pitched into the 8, or he went 8 innings. He's been able to use his pitches. Like I said, you keep those pitches in the edge of the strike zone, it's very tough to hit. It seems like the cutter was really, really good. A lot of late decisions from their part, either to take the pitch or to swing. So, I mean, it's impressive. It is. You look up, and he's throwing 100 in the 8th inning. So, I mean, he is who we thought he was going to be, you know, kind of like the way we were going to use him, and he's been outstanding.
Decision in the 8th inning, was it because you thought Eovaldi was done, or did you want to get Kimbrel?
No, I mean, just felt that it was okay to go to Craig there. We're not gonna, for one inning, I know it's great, it's a complete game, but we have the best closer in the game, so in that situation I felt like up 3 or 4 we would bring Craig. He did his job. That's what we want. We needed, and then we went to Craig.
Alex, when Nathan got here, you talked about, you know, the program that you guys have in place for pitchers in terms of preparation, scouting reports, things like that. Is there anything specific? I know it's only been 2 starts where you've been able, or the staff has been able, to contribute to his the way he goes out there.
Not really. We haven't changed anything. Obviously, Sandy calls a different game than Wilson and Sucre down there, but they do an outstanding job with pitchers in Tampa. So you got to give them credit. And we traded for him because we knew he was throwing the ball well, and we know the stuff. Maybe Sandy calls the game a little bit more creative. It seems like with Tampa, it's like sliders down, fastballs up. And that worked for him. But we throw a little bit more breaking balls, throwing the cutter in different spots, maybe. But we haven't changed too much.
In general, can you talk about how good your starting pitching has been, obviously most of the year, but specifically since the break?
They've been great. They're giving us a chance to win on a nightly basis. I haven't looked at the numbers, but probably the walks are down too. A lot of weak contact, strikeouts, and fly balls. But like today, he got a few ground balls, and we played good defense behind him. Ruck did an outstanding job. We turned a few double plays. So they're good. They push each other. They're rooting for each other. It's fun to see them in the dugout, just cheering the guy on the mound. And it's not a competition. This is not the one that he goes 7. I want to go 8. No. That doesn't happen here because they're different. But they do talk baseball. They prepare and they root for each other.
Alex, this was another game where you took a 2-run lead in the first inning and you protected it all the way through. Why have your guys been such great front runners this year when they're able to get the lead?
First of all, they're very talented. There's good stuff throughout our pitching staff. And then we catch the ball, too. I know sometimes we struggle, but we make the routine play. If you hit the ball in the air, most likely it's going to get caught. But besides that, I think we've been making the routine plays, and that's what you have to do when you get the lead. Don't give them more than 27 outs. We've been good as far as not walking people, and I was thinking I got to take a look at it, but it seems like we've been ahead a lot, you know, in counts. It's 0-1, 0-2, and that's a tough at bat when you're falling behind.
Can you talk about your decision not to pay Pierce tonight?
Mitchell's a good player, and you know, of course, Steve is swinging the bat well. But Mitch has been working in his craft the last few days. He's feeling a little bit better with his knee, and we like the matchup. I know 4 home runs in 2 days—that's amazing, but. Mitch put some good at-bats yesterday, and we like the player. We made a decision that he was going to be our first baseman throughout the season, and it's good to see him hit the ball in the air.
You seem really kind of fired up about that replay getting overturned.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, good job by JT again. We had one very similar in New York on the Saturday game when we beat them. It was Brock. He hit it the other way, and it was very similar. But what can I tell you? Our staff they work hard, like everybody in the big leagues, obviously. But I do feel we prepare, and they do a good job putting these guys in situations to be successful. And those two guys, Steve and JT, they care first of all. They do care. It's not that they just let me give you the scouting report and that's it. They pay attention to the game, which is great. And, I mean, he decided to challenge it, and he went our way.
Yeah, it worked. That was a key run there. 4-1 win for the Red Sox over the Yankees today at Fenway. John Ryder, Red Sox Review. We have our final segment coming up next as we hear from Nathan Eovaldi as well after the Red Sox beat the Yankees 4-1 today at Fenway. The final segment of Red Sox Review up next here on WEI.
Is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of fun pitching here and, you know, playing with these guys behind me. We've been able to score runs early in the game, which makes it a little easier pitching. And, you know, the defense is amazing. So it's been a lot of fun throwing with Sandy back there behind the plate. I feel like we've been on, you know, a really good page. And, I feel like the flow has been good.
Definitely has been. Nathan Eovaldi looks confident out there. Doesn't seem to be fazed by the bright lights of Boston whatsoever. Of course, he's familiar with pitching in the AL East. Obviously, just coming over from Tampa Bay, but pitching in big situations, pitching with the Yankees earlier in his career and with the Dodgers as well. And he just breathes today through 8 innings, 8 scoreless, scatters 3 hits. Red Sox take the Yankees 4-1. They're taking the first 3 out of the series. Saw a tweet from Sean McAdam of the Boston Sports Journal. Says since June 21st, Red Sox 22-1 when Sandy Leon starts behind the plate, which is remarkable stuff there. Guy texting in here as well, asking Dan from the Cape, give me a compliment, thanks. But he says, I think tomorrow night David Price going to try to win over Red Sox fans a la Joe Kelly by dusting a Yankee or two. Thoughts? don't know if that will happen, but I could see him going up and in against a couple of these Yankees. Yeah, pitching inside, potentially. Just want to see him pitch well. I mean, that's what we want to see him do against the Yankees. All right, that will do it for Red Sox Review. Best of up next. Thanks to Chris Schein for running things back there. Thanks for Rob Bradford for calling in. Thanks for you, the listeners, for calling in and texting in. Red Sox and Yankees wrapping up their four-game series tomorrow night. David Price against Masahiro Tanaka. Pre-game show at 7:20 tomorrow night on WEI. First pitch at 8:05. Must listen to tomorrow night, Red Sox and Yankees. That will do it. Thanks for tuning in to WEI.
The 2-1. Swung on and hit in the air to center field. Playable for Jackie Bradley Jr. Jackie's got it, and the ball game is over. Phew! Got him all away. Well, not exactly how you draw it up, but the Red Sox hang on and win this one by a 4-1 score, and now have an 8.5 game lead over the Yankees in the American League East. They have won this series, taking the first three games, and will go for a sweep tomorrow night, with David Price on the hill against Masahiro Tanaka. But Nathan Eovaldi outstanding here today. 8 scoreless innings, scattering 3 hits, striking out 4, and earning his 5th win of the season, his 2nd in a row with the Red Sox. He goes to 5-4. Chance Adams, in his Major League debut, suffers the loss. He goes to 0-1. The Red Sox now a season best 44 games over 500 at 78-34. The Yankees dropped to 68-41, and for the first time this year, the Yankees have lost 4 straight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.